What's up, everybody? Welcome to Apollineering. My name is Seth. I'm your host. And tonight we got an exciting interview. Again, gosh, I think I say that in every interview that I do, but just every interview that I do is super exciting for me. And I'm super stoked to have Ken on tonight. And it's going to be a great discussion. Tonight's topic is going to be, well, depending on how much time we have, man, because we can talk all night on just one of these things. And so we'll see how far we get. But I labeled tonight's topic, aliens, demons, transhumanism, and the connection between the three. So that's a lot of material to cover. But we'll see what we get into. And we may need to have Ken back on in the future to finish this conversation. But we'll see where it goes. So, man, if you're just tuning in for the first time, I'm so glad that you guys are here. I have joined the Daily Renegade, which is kind of a Netflix for fringe Christianity. And so if you guys aren't a part of the Daily Renegade or you don't know anything about it, I encourage you guys to go check it out. There's currently 12 shows on there, similar to this. They're not all interview shows. A lot of them actually are just research, independent researchers doing their thing. Scholarly researchers like Ryan Peterson and Gary Wayne. And so there's a bunch of shows on there that are dedicated to getting truth and information out to you guys. And that's really what the Daily Renegade is about. Recently, we've come into a lot of censorship on YouTube. And in fact, one of the interviews that I did with Amor was there was a strike put against it, and the video was actually removed by YouTube, by Google, and they put a strike on our account. So for the past week, we have been unable to upload videos and to live stream. So the censorship is real, guys. It's not something that we talk about. Like, this is actually happening. And so we need your support. We need to be in this fight together. This country is built on free speech, and this platform is totally hypocritical in how they censor people. They say, you know, you can't talk about this, but then you can talk about this, and it just doesn't make any sense. And so we need to be on the front lines battling against this. And one of the ways that we can battle against this is to create our own platform. And so that's what Josh Peck had the idea to do, and it's been a great journey. But it also takes time, and it takes money. And so make sure that you guys also be consider becoming a member at the Daily Renegade. It's only $10 a month or $100 a year. And for now, those are the prices. And Josh always tells me, he's like, I don't know, how long we could keep those prices because it's becoming such a hot thing. And with the more shows that are coming on, with the more editors and things like that, editing articles, we're going to need to be able to fund this thing. And so it's going to take your guys' financial support and your prayers, most importantly. So be praying for us. Be praying for the Daily Renegade, that God's gospel, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be spread to those that need to hear it. So I just got to get that plug in and for the Daily Renegade, for all those great hosts that are on there. And I'm just so blessed and honored to be a part of it. So I can't wait to see where it goes. But without further ado, I'm going to introduce Ken, and then we're going to hear from him and get into this exciting discussion. So Ken Ami is an Argentinian American Jewish Christian who attended private Jewish school and had his bar mitzvah in Israel. He was formerly involved in the New Age movement and was a practitioner of Reiki, Tai Chi, Chuan, Chai Kung, and I Ching. He has been involved in Christian apologetics as a researcher and lecturer for nearly a decade and has articles published in an apologetics journal. All right, Ken, how's it going tonight, man?
Very well, and I'm honored to be on with you.
Well, thanks, man. I really appreciate you coming on. I've been looking into some of your research the past few days, and I'm super excited for this conversation. You are, as we were discussing before we got on, you like to get into the details, and you like to do those things. And so I'm similar in that area, so I'm excited to have this conversation. But before we get into some of those more fringe things, I want to begin by letting you share your testimony. I mean, just from your bio, there's some cool things in there that I think we could discuss all night, just discussing some of those things. So could you give my audience just a little bit of background about how you came to know Jesus? I mean, you grew up as having your bar mitzvah, and so you grew up, you know, knowing the Jewish law and things like that. So tell us how you ended up accepting Jesus as the Messiah.
Sure. My testimony is, I sinned, Jesus saved. Next question.
Yeah. There you go. That's so true, though.
Well, the thing is, I came to accept Jesus as my Messiah when I was 27. So that makes for a really, really long story.
Well, dude, we all night. Kidding. Just go over the I guess the major points. You mentioned in there that you were into the New Age. I mean, you had a bar mitzvah. So what happened? How did you transition from going from Jewish? There must have been some Kabbalah mixed in there at some point and some other types of things. So what kind of religion did your parents teach you? Were they Jews or what?
Well, that you won't get much out of me just because I have a very strong sense of filial piety. But I'll give you the point I generally come back to, which is when I was a child. Well, in Argentina, we didn't have a tooth fairy, right? We have the teeth mice. I guess it's like the knockoff. Same function, but it's, rodents. Yeah. Anyhow, when I found out there was really no such thing and that it was actually my parents putting the coin and taking my tooth. And so I found out that essentially, good, well-meaning as they were, that they had deceived me about that. As a child, I was just so thrown off, it impacted me so greatly to recognize that, wow, my parents have deceived me about this. And what's interesting is if you go to YouTube and you type up Santa syndrome, you'll hear many, many, many testimonies from atheists saying that that's what led them on their path, is finding out Santa wasn't real. And there was their parents who had basically done the same thing, told them that was the case, then they found that it wasn't. So what else are they being dishonest about? That sort of thing. I can really empathize with that. But what I recognize is that led me on a lifetime quest for the truth. Okay, and so that's how, as a Jew going through private Jewish school and doing all of that, I also ended up sticking my toes on and so many other worldviews and philosophies just to try to figure things out. What's out there? What's this belief? What's that philosophy? What's this concept? What's that worldview? And I kind of just spent almost 3 decades going through as much of it as I could consume. In fact, this is part of our discussion, which is in sixth grade, my main interests were I'd go down to the local library and look at books on aliens, witchcraft, and cryptozoology, the French stuff right off the bat. And so that's how I end up trying and looking at so many things. But eventually, I did recognize that in all my pretending to be so open-minded, I realized I've never given Christians a fair hearing. And when I did so, I went through the stages of shock. I grant you, it took a long time, but thinking, first of all, these Christians are just insane, just completely loony, to denial, to anger, right, to eventual acceptance, very grudging acceptance.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I had been thinking a lot about the problem of evil. And so it turns out that the problem of evil actually is what brought me to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. So that played a huge role.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that there's a lot of people that struggle with that question. Like, if God is so good, why is there evil in the world? Right. I had an interview with an apologetics professor, actually. And we discussed that because that's like his main question that he gets from people who don't believe in scripture, who don't believe in the biblical Jesus, is they can't accept that a good God would allow this evil to happen. Especially the evil that we're going to be discussing tonight. So that's cool it just lends to the fact that, God can work through anything, and he shapes us as the potter does, right? Because He doesn't force us to do anything, but he uses our situations and our circumstances for his benefit. I mean, everything that you've been through, everything that I've been through, we're able to share with people and encourage people and lead them to Christ because we're able to relate to them because we've been through something similar or whatever it may be. So our testimonies are super powerful. And that's why I like to start with our testimonies. Especially for first-time guests, just so that my audience gets that foundation about where you're coming from. So, guys, Ken is just like us. He wants the truth. He wants to get that truth out there. And so tonight, I want to begin by getting into some transhumanism, the worldview of transhumanism. What is transhumanism? And for those of you who have tuned in to my interview with Carl Tyker, we discussed it a little bit, but I want to get into more of it tonight. And so I sent Ken a couple of questions before we get on, and one was talking about their plan, right? These transhumanists have plans for the future, and I think they have like a 2035 plan or something like that, which is like this bulleted list of things that they'd like to accomplish by that time. Ken, can you dive into transhumanism with me, and what is transhumanism? What is their worldview? What is the goal of transhumanism? And ultimately, what are their plans?
Right. So as you stated, at some point, for some reason, they decided on a specific date at which their plan would come to fruition. Some may call it why does the word escape me now? You might have to edit this. I just completely went blank.
Yeah, no worries.
The concept of when AI becomes self-conscious, the singularity.
That's yeah, singularity. Yep.
Okay. At which the singularity will just manifest, right? And actually, it's not 2035, it's 2045.
2045? Okay.
And I'll give you an easy way to remember.
I thought they had moved it up. That's why I said that, because I thought
yes,
it was originally 2025, and then I thought it was like moving up because things were moving so quickly.
Right. So that's what I hear too, is for some reason they decided to knock a decade off of it. So yeah, you're right. They started with 2045, which to me was telling, or so I thought. Now, this is the sort of thing that it either means something or it doesn't. But when they said 2045, I thought, well, okay, if I take the year as 45, that reduces to 9. And if I take it as 2045, that reduces to 11.
Oh, interesting.
Again, I don't know if that was on purpose or not. And now they made it 2035, so who knows why they decided, oh, we can easily knock an entire decade off of this plan of ours, but whatever. Whatever the case may be. So to me, it's always important to not just keep up with who's doing what, but why are they doing it? And that's why we get into issues of worldview. And then I like to, of course, plug in theology into it. So what I generally noticed is that there's an inevitable link between transhumanism, occult, and evolution. It's almost inevitable that you'll find two, if not three, of those elements together constantly when you're dealing with transhumanism. So really, I guess I should say high-tech occultism and evolution. Mm-hmm. Now, the way I look at it is, I think back to Genesis 2, where God creates Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathes into him the breath of life and becomes a living soul, right? So you have this inanimate matter that then becomes alive. Okay, and there you have it. That's transhumanism in a nutshell in terms of wanting to become as God.
Right.
Okay, and not in a good way, like be ye therefore holy as your Father in heaven is holy. I mean, I always say to become like God should be in terms of emulation, not in terms of usurpation. So there's a good way to be like God. There's a bad way to attempt be like God. And so that's really the ultimate transhumanist dream. That's why you hear of all these concepts of strong artificial intelligence, which means that artificial intelligence that would become self-aware. You're basically creating life in a different form, but nevertheless, Adam being made of the ground was life in a different form than God has experienced eternally. And so you can even trace that back. Yeah, you mentioned the Kabbalah. Well, that is a big component in Kabbalah, is the concept of the golem, where through enough mystical training, a rabbi literally could be as God and mold dirt or soil into a basic humanoid form, bring it to life. Right. Wow. So yeah, you see that going way, way back in mystical rabbinic Judaism and occultism of the rabbinic Judaism sort. And in my mind, that really traces very strongly and obviously through pop culture. If you think about the story of Frankenstein, it's the same basic concept of taking previously living organic matter, body parts, and bringing it to life, right? And incidentally, Frankenstein is not only subtitled or the modern Prometheus, which is very telling, but it is a deeply, deeply theological book. And then you take that through concepts of robots, androids, and cyborgs. Okay, so a robot is basically a clunky computing device that may be mobile. Android is an anthropomorphic robot, right? So it's a robot that looks like a human being. And then a cyborg is a human that has technology implanted into them. And so this is how these ideas develop, how we in our innate rebellion against God, really what's happening here is we're seeing the fundamental deconstruction of the human being, of God's created order, right? And the reconstruction in our own image. This is why, as almost worldwide now, but certainly in first world countries, you're seeing a deconstruction of things as basic as gender or sex, right? Where that's like a fundamental aspect of what makes a human being what they are. And we're being told, hey, it's whatever you decide, right? Forget God's created order. And the same thing goes when you're talking about attempting to achieve superhuman abilities through technology. So now I feel as though I might take a step back, because obviously we've had a lot of technology that enhances human beings for a very long time. I mean, the first time someone slipped a sandal on their foot, right, that was an important technology. So was fire. So were a million other things, pacemakers, artificial hips, hearts. I mean, fillings in your teeth, all kinds of things that are beneficial. So it's important to not just say, uh-oh, technology or technological implant, therefore bad, you know. It really becomes very complicated when you start talking about, how far can we go? How far do we go? What's the difference between a pacemaker that keeps me alive and having an implant in my head that makes me super smart? You know what I mean? So It gets very complicated very fast, and more so as time progresses. And so in a sense, transhumanism has a PR front, okay, like a marketing front of being all about benefiting and bettering humanity. And a lot of it is that, mostly because a lot of the top people in that field keep their tabs on what's going on in high tech and in technologies that help people with missing limbs, right, or life-threatening diseases, and then they'll co-opt that towards their own desired ends, right? So a lot of it is very appealing and is very beneficial, no question about it. The problem is, at one point, do we recognize that God's created order and God's created will for humanity is being deconstructed to the point where, well, what is a human being if I am uploading the contents of my brain into a robotic body that's on another planet? You know what I mean? Take your pick of any really wild, far out there thing that they're planning. So that's what's important to keep in mind, is where is this coming from and where is it going? And like I said, it gets incredibly complicated very fast.
Yeah, it does. And you brought up a lot of good points, in particular that like not everything that is being developed is bad. I think especially in the Christian fringe group, what I've noticed, and I actually had a conversation with a buddy of mine today about this, is we tend to think that there's a demon under everything, right? there's evil behind every technological advancement that this person couldn't have developed this unless they had some mediumship or some contact with spirits, and that necessarily isn't always the case. Like, it doesn't always have to be that. Like you were saying, like tooth fillers, that can't possibly be evil, because that doesn't, there's no innate in that. That's genuine, like trying to better the
quality of life.
The quality of life. That's exactly right. And to help us live longer and to give us healthy lives and things like that. So those things aren't necessarily, not everything, there's not a demon behind everything or anything like that. And so I think that you're right in that transhumanism, fundamentally, if you take the evolution part of it out, right, because that's really what they're going for, is the next phase in evolution.
Yes.
You take that part out, fundamentally, transhumanism is good because it's all about the betterment of life, right? It's all about increasing our quality. It's all about increasing the lifespan of people, helping them, cure cancers and walk with, without pain in their limbs and all this type of stuff. But once you add that evolution aspect to it, it becomes a whole nother element. So let's dive into that. What is the next phase of transhumanism? Like what is their goal? What are they trying to achieve? What's the evil behind transhumanism if you take out the goodness that it's trying to do?
Well, that, as I said, is a very complicated issue, in part because, in a manner of speaking, yes, you have certain transhumanist organizations, but you basically have a lot of sort of do-it-yourself renegades who have their own goals, right? So Richard Seed, for instance, is very infamous for talking about wanting to become a god, as he puts it. Mm-hmm. And that if you stand in the way of him becoming a god, then there's going to be trouble, is how he puts it. And he says, you try to kill me, I'll kill you. So in his case, he's an elderly gentleman, and I could understand why he is really hoping to get some much-needed physical upgrades, in the sense of a cyborg or an android, and to be able to extend his life and to be able to fight back against perceived threats to his goals. So it really depends, okay? So really the way that things seem to generally break down is people talk a lot about, are we looking at a future that's like George Orwell's 1984, or are we looking at a future that's more like Huxley's Brave New World, right? So the difference being, will some kind of technocratic regime kick down your door and take you captive and do all that? Or will it be soft, as they call it, soft tyranny, where I think that's where we are right now, actually. Big Brother doesn't have to kick down your door and install cameras and screens to keep tabs on you. We're doing it ourselves.
Yeah, we're giving them permission, right?
you and I are doing it right now. We're putting our faces on video, expressing these ideas, putting them on the World Wide Web. Right here we are. We're the guys who are thinking and talking about this. Here we are. Hello.
We're coming for you. I'm just kidding.
And honestly, I have often said, I'm so glad that when I was a teenager, this kind of technology didn't exist, because I definitely would have posted a lot of really embarrassing stuff out there. And so part of it is, the concept of the Internet of Things, or the Internet of Everything, where basically, pretty soon there'll be a database tracking how many strokes you make when you brush your teeth. Anything really mundane, from that to like I said, what we're talking about, what our views are, and everything in this giant database. And then you have artificial intelligence perusing databases collected by lower level artificial intelligence. So everything becomes tracked, you know, everything becomes known. And then you get into issues of the death of privacy, for instance, and all of that. And so on the other hand, not even on the other hand, just as another side issue, like I said, you get into issues of how much technology will a person allow to be implanted into their biological bodies, or will they be like more of a surrogate movie scenario where you're literally just laying in your apartment and you have a android body running around and you're functioning that way, right? So in other words, I'm not sure you can say that there's one thing that's a goal, because there's so many varied ideas as to the sort of things that transhumanists want to do that it's really all over the place. But it generally would tend to break down to some sort of subconscious artificial intelligence and our being, to whatever level, subservient to it. And it either, you know, a destructive scenario or more like a Matrix scenario where it keeps us nice and, well, like the Romans used to say, bread and circus, right? As long as we're fed and are entertained, that's good enough for us. So it is, again, it all boils down to a fundamental creation, a fundamental reforming and reshaping, which is also where the concept of evolution comes in, which is why should we be subject to natural selection when the whole scenario is told to us to be by accident, right? And life happened by accident, so did the earth, so did the universe, so did natural selection. Well, why can't it be human selection, like a eugenics form? But this is high-tech eugenics, so why be subject to natural selection? Why not take it into our own hands and make of humanity really what we want it to be, not just in terms of governance, like totalitarian regimes, but where you're deconstructing the individual. That's the ultimate transhumanist goal, is deconstructing the created kind, the individual, and rebuilding them in the image of, well, whoever's at the top, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like that answer, because you're right. It totally depends, I think, on who you talk to and who you ask, like, what is the goal? I think any transhumanist will tell you something different.
Right.
Unless they are part of a, you know, an organization that has a mission statement or a vision, you know, because then all those people are collectively working towards something that they want to see transhumanism answer, right? There's a question that they have, and they view transhumanism as that answer. And so that leads me to a question then for you, is transhumanism a religion? Would you consider transhumanism a religion?
Well, again, it can be.
Yeah.
It's again, we're back to that. It gets complicated because there's so many views. So, for example, there is a Mormon Transhumanist Association.
Yeah.
Which, to me, the second I heard that, I thought, well, yeah, they already believe they're going to become gods. So, becoming a god in a high-tech way, it's just kind of goes with. There are definitely people who are working on establishing transhumanist churches, as they call it, and transhuman spirituality, right? Ray Kurzweil, The Age of Spiritual Machines, the Cyborg Buddha Project. There's all kinds. There's a lot of Buddhist groups really, really getting in line with this, even having very rudimentary, but still having robots being programmed to spout off Buddhist teachings and temples, and that's already happening. A merging of spirituality, whatever that means, to me that's just a very generic term, but so is occultism. So that is already out there, and it's already starting, and sure, it can be a form of religion.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess the reason that I asked that question is because, you know, whatever camp you fall in, you know, ultimately, whether you're doing it for the betterment of mankind or you have some sinister plan, right? The ultimate goal is to become something different than what you are, right? Like you want to become better, you want to become more enhanced, you want to have these capabilities, this bionic man capabilities or whatever it may be, right? But the ultimate goal, you know, especially for like the Ray Kurzweil or anyone else that's high up there in the transhumanist movement, and even some of the people working on this 2045 plan or whatever, I think if you would ask them, most of them would answer like, I want to become my own God, right? I want to live forever. I want to escape out of this reality, this three-dimensional thing that we call our reality, right? They want to escape out of that. And so that question kind of stemmed from that in the age old lie that was told to Eve in the garden, you know, you shall be as gods, right? Well, they're pursuing that through technology. They're pursuing that through uploading their subconscious into a computer, like in that Johnny Depp movie that released a few years ago, you know, where he does that. And so it's coming to reality. Like even in Ready Player One, which was a film back in, I think it was released initially in the 80s, but they just released it. I mean, you have these people with these, you know, running around in this virtual reality, doing, you know, things that they would never do in real life, you know? And so there's that aspect of transhumanism as well, that a lot of these people are seeking something outside of just being a better equipped person. I'm seeking this for spiritual fulfillment, for becoming my own God. And I think that's why it does appeal to the Mormons, because it aids them in ultimately doing what they want to do, you know, become this God of this planet. Leading into that, what do you see transhumanism in biblical prophecy? I mean, do you see that anywhere in scripture or as a possible use by in the end times as bringing about this one world religion, one world order, or whatever you want to call it? And I don't know your stance on end time prophecy or anything like that, but do you see transhumanism possibly playing a role in biblical prophecy?
Well, to some extent, I can. So, for instance, like I said, I generally will jump from Genesis 2 to the golem up through robots, androids, and cyborgs, and AI. Okay, so that's my usual line of thought throughout. That pretty much covers all of history and a couple little dots there. But yeah, if you think about the image of the beast that is given life in Revelation, right? Now, we don't know the details of what that exactly means, what sort of an image is it, but we do know that it's a non-living thing that is brought to life. And that's just good old-fashioned, like I said, basic Genesis 2 golem concept in a high-tech context is... that is definitely part of it. However, that's going to end up happening. That speaks to me in that sense. And then there's also the aspect of like part of our discussion is to touch upon the alien phenomena. And one thing I've noticed is when we break down the message that aliens have for us, and once you cut through all the fluff and puff, and then there's a ton of fluff and puff because for some reason aliens tend to speak in New Age terminology or whatever, you know. But generally what I've noticed is they have three main messages for us. And it's the perfect example of disinformation where they wrap a big deception around truth. So their message to us sounds good, but it's their solution that I have a problem with. So basically they say, one, you humans are always battling each other over theology. You know, you have religious conflicts. Okay, yeah, absolutely, no question there. You humans are always battling each other over governments and politics. Yep, definitely, country to country and all that, no problem, I agree. And number three, humans are polluting the earth. You know, you're destroying your planet. Okay, yeah, I'm with you on all three. No problem. Yeah, you aliens got us. So what's their solution? Well, form a one world religion with a one world government and worship the earth as an entity. Okay. now, how come the first two alien final solutions are the same ones as the beast, you know, the Antichrist figure in Revelation? And how come the third one is in Romans 1, where when you turn away from God, you end up worshiping the creation, right? Now how come they're traveling from wherever they're supposed to be coming from to tell us the things about which the Bible's been warning us for millennia?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.